John chapter 13. Now, the day before the Passover drew on, Jesus knew that his hour had come for him to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So his death on the cross was love unto the end. Jesus and the disciples kept the supper. But the devil, having put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all power, knowing that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, put a towel around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel which was around his waist. So when it says the devil put this into the heart of Simon, well, you see, the devil means an enemy, a false accuser, an adversary. And so sometimes, not always, but sometimes in the Bible, it does refer to the heart. Now, the thoughts that lead to sin come from within the heart. So it's appropriate to call it, in that sense, the enemy, the false accuser. And I think that when he saw all that perfume being used on the feet of Jesus, he thought that that was such a waste, and he went to the Jews and said, "What will you give me? And I'll betray Jesus unto you." So his motivation was money and his desire for power, and that all comes from within the heart. So Jesus now sets us the great example that he takes off his coat and he's only got the towel around his waist, which perhaps was exactly how he was crucified. And yet, in his death on the cross, he was living out what he already had shown throughout his life. It wasn't like some special show of love at the end. This is how he was as a person. And it was only the servant in a family, in a large wealthy family, who washed people's feet. But Jesus does this to show that I am the servant. I'm the least of all. When he came to Simon Peter said to him, "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?" "No, you shall never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "You don't know what I'm doing now, but you will understand it later." Peter said, "You will never at any time wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part in me." Peter replied, "Lord, then not only wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head too." You've got to really love Peter for how enthusiastic he was, even within his misunderstandings. Jesus replied, "Anyone who has washed is completely clean and doesn't need to have to keep washing himself apart from washing his feet. Now all of you are clean, apart from one." Jesus already knew who was going to betray him, which is why he said, "You are all clean, but not all," that is, apart from one. After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his garment back on and returned to his place at the table. "Do you realize what I have just done to you?" he asked them. "You call me Master and Lord, and it is right that you say this, because that is what I am. But I, as your master and your teacher, have just washed your feet. You, then, must wash one another's feet. I have set you an example for you to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, and one who is sent with a message is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, happy will you be if you do them. I don't speak about all of you, but of those whom I have chosen, for the scripture must be fulfilled that says, 'He who shared my bread with me lifted up his heel against me.' I'm telling you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever receives the one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him that sent me." So this is the great example, that we should be a servant of all. And that's what we've got to keep on asking ourselves. Am I serving? Or am I trying to go through life getting something out of it? And it's that spirit of being a servant, which is what Jesus is full of. So after Jesus had done this, he was very troubled in his spirit, and he stated clearly, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, one of you is going to betray me." The disciples looked upon each other, amazed about whom he might be speaking. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and that's the way that John, I think, talks about himself, who's writing this gospel, like he's saying, "I'm the one whom Jesus loved." Wow. Doesn't mean Jesus didn't love anyone else. And we also should rejoice in this, that we are the ones whom Jesus loves. So he was sitting next to Jesus, and Peter motioned to him, made a sort of a sign, a telling sign to him, and said, "Ask him who he's talking about." So that disciple came closer to Jesus' side and asked him, "Who is it, Lord?" Jesus replied, "It's the one with whom I dipped and to whom I gave the piece of bread." Well, it seems that they dipped their bread in a sauce, and that's what he's referring to, but he had already done this with Judas, and maybe he happened to dip his bread in the sauce at the same time that Judas did, and he might have just touched Judas' finger. That's what I think happened. So as soon as this happened, Satan entered into Judas. In other words, he allowed sin to fully take over his heart. Jesus said to him, "What you are doing, do quickly." None of the others at the table understood what Jesus meant. Because Judas was in charge of the money bag, remember we read in the last chapter that he stole what was in the money bag, some of them thought that Jesus had told him to go outside and buy something that was necessary for keeping the feast, or to give something to the poor. Judas took the bread and went out immediately, and it was night. So there's Judas going out into the darkness. And this is not for us, is it? We don't want to go out into the darkness like Judas did and betray Jesus, but to stay with him in all our weakness. Now, after Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God's glory is to be shown through him, then God will reveal the glory of the Son of Man in himself, and he will do this very soon. My children, I won't be with you much longer. You will search for me, but I tell you at this time what I have told the Jews. You cannot go where I am going. And so I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have such love for each other, then truly you will be known as my disciples." So you could say, but it was always a command of God to love. What was new about this commandment was that they were to love as we are to love, as Jesus loved us. And the chapter began by saying that he loved his own that were in the world unto the end, that is, in his death on the cross. This is the pattern for us. Simon Peter then asked him, "Where are you going to, Lord?" Jesus replied, "You cannot follow me where I am going, but you will afterwards." "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" Peter asked. "I am absolutely ready to die for you." Jesus replied, "Are you really ready to give your life for me? Truly, truly, I say unto you, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter, as we know, didn't take that seriously. He just thought, "Oh, no, I'll be all right." And this must not be our attitude, that, "Oh, yeah, I'll be all right." But to realize how weak we are and to cast ourselves upon the grace and the love of Jesus.